Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Are there certain professions that are forbidden to followers of Jesus? We've done a survey here on the Line of Fire, and you won't believe the results.
It's time for the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus and a Victoria's Secret model, a mixed martial arts fighter, a bartender, a politician, a soldier, a gambling casino owner, a porn star? Michael Brown here to get you thinking today on the Line of Fire as we seek to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or join the exceptionally lively discussion continuing from yesterday on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Also have some important updates and discussion regarding abortion on the program today. But let me first tell you why I've put these questions out, all right? This is not just random information to get you interested. This is random information to get you thinking about relevant issues, about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, about what is morality, what is purity, what are godly standards, what is legalism, what is a wrong way of thinking. I'm so glad that yesterday, as we were talking about the latest Miss America and the question, can you be a committed follower of Jesus and a beauty queen and go through the bikini competition, other things, and put yourself out a certain way to draw attention to, can you do that and glorify Jesus? We had good, healthy discussion about that online, on the website as well, AskDrBrown.org, on the Line of Fire blog there. Lots of healthy, good discussion. At the end of the show, someone called yesterday to talk about the issue of legalism, and I'm so glad that call came because my goal is not to set standards. These are the Line of Fire standards on what qualifies as a follower of Jesus. Oh, you don't have enough buttons on that shirt. There should be an extra button. Oh, that watch is too ostentatious. Oh, there's too much makeup. Oh, there's not enough makeup. No, the goal is quite the opposite. The goal is rather to get us to step back and to ask questions, as a follower of Jesus, how should I live in this world? As a follower of Jesus, in what sense do I come out of the world? Jesus did say, in terms of the Great Commission, that we were to go into all the world and make disciples, did he not? Matthew 28. In John 17, he prayed that we would not be taken out of the world, but that we'd be kept in the midst of the world. The clear statement in the scriptures is that we are in the world and not of it. 2 Corinthians 6 urges us to come out of the world, meaning come out of the world's sin. 1 John 2 tells us not to love the world or the things in the world. So how does that work itself out? What does that mean? And we can talk about it in the abstract all day long. Let's talk about it practical, down-to-earth, day-to-day life and ask some questions. So here's what I want you to do. You can weigh in online. The easiest way is Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, where we've put this survey out. And I've got some great comments to read already. Trust me, I'm going to be reading them through the broadcast, but there's still time for you to weigh in and maybe have your comment read on the broadcast. But you can call and answer any of these questions. Now, if you don't remember all of them, just call in, and I'll ask you each one, and you can just give a yes, no, or not sure. All right? If you want to expand on one, we'll probably have time to do that as well, or get into the larger philosophy. But all I'm asking for is a simple response. And you can respond to any one of these if you have a strong conviction about it, or to all. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, and here's what I'm going to ask you. Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus? By that I mean really living for the Lord. But by that I mean really seeking to please the Lord with your whole life, a true believer, a true follower of Jesus. And someone raised the question, well, isn't that the question? Can you really be a devoted follower of Jesus? Which I found was an interesting question to raise. But here we go. Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus and, one, a Victoria's Secret model? Two, a mixed martial arts fighter? Three, a bartender? Four, a politician? Five, a soldier? Six, a gambling casino owner? Seven, a porn star? Now, you can weigh in on any of the seven or all of the seven. And again, if you don't remember each of them when you call in, I will just give you the list and you can say yes, no, or not sure. All right. And if for any reason you think that your answer is going to be too controversial, you don't want to be known, you maybe want to advocate you can be a Christian porn star, then call in with a pseudonym if you like. That's perfectly fine. Let me read some of the responses here that I've been getting. Isaiah, well, tell you what, I'm not even going to name the names because a few of them I'm really going to take some issue with, and I don't even want to name the names, even though these are public comments on Facebook. One comment is, politician, yes. Yes, you can be a committed Christian, a devoted follower of Jesus, and a politician, but no to the rest. You can't be a Victoria's Secret model, mixed martial arts fighter, bartender, soldier, gambling casino owner, or porn star. Interesting. So you cannot be a true follower of Jesus and a soldier, okay? Several have commented, look, God saves us where we are and we grow. I affirm that from the heart, and it's a joy to see people brand new in the Lord growing, isn't it? It's a joy to see people making mistakes and using language that's not right. They're just babes, and then God begins to deal with them. Look, I know. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever that December 17th of 1971, when I surrendered to the Lord, when I said I will never put a needle in my arm again, because that was the big challenge of obedience for me. That was the thing I knew I had to abandon. When I said I'll never put a needle in my arm again, I know beyond any doubt that I was saved at that point. And I may have been saved in days previous to that. There was a five-week period of starting to believe and then turning to the Lord. But for sure, December 17th, 71, I have no question. Now, 2 days after that, I got high. I didn't shoot heroin. I didn't put a needle in my arm. I got high. And I felt convicted, and I said, Lord, I won't get high again. It was sometime after that, some weeks after that, before God convicted me, or I became aware of the wrongness of profanity. And then a terrible temper I had, and then anger in different ways, and other issues, and so on. And of course, to this day, I pray about pursuing holiness and perfecting holiness in the Lord and growing in grace and conduct and thought and word and deed to be a more faithful example and representation of Jesus. So I have no question that God can save somebody, and they really are saved, and it's going to take them a little while to get cleaned up in other ways. My question is, can you really be walking with Jesus in any kind of a mature way and engage in these various professions? Obviously, I believe some you can, some you can't, but I'll save my comments for the end. One young gentleman weighs in and says, with a smile, doubtful whether you could be a politician and a devoted follower of Jesus, but yes to everything else. Yes, you can be a porn star and a devoted follower of Jesus? Are you kidding me? Someone else commented, a porn star I'm going to have to think about. You have to think about what is there to think about? What is there to think about a person who is there? The whole purpose of what they are doing by profession is drawing people into lust, drawing people into adulterous thoughts and unclean thoughts and immoral thoughts, and setting themselves up as objects of lust, and on and on and on. I mean, what possible justification could there be? By the way, read the Bible cover to cover and you won't find them, but feel free to call in and argue it if you'd like. One fellow asked, why are these questions relevant? They're relevant because they make us think. They're relevant because all of us find ourselves in certain situations at times in life where we have to make moral decisions. For example, if it's wrong to be a bartender, is it acceptable to work as a waiter or waitress in a restaurant that sells liquor? Or to be a flight attendant where you sell liquor? or in first class cabin where liquor could be given away freely? And is that only within limits? I mean, these are fair questions to ask, are they not? Or what if you just work at a store, you know, a convenience store, in a gas station or something like that, and there's beer sold or liquor sold? Is that an acceptable profession? Or do you say, hey, I can't sell it? What if it's selling cigarettes? Or you say, well, then we'd have to totally leave the world. Okay, fair questions. That's why we are asking them. Let's see. Someone weighs in here. No on all of them except politician and soldier. Another one who's involved in MMA, mixed martial arts, says, I will say no to all except the mixed martial arts fighter and soldier. Why? Because they're the only two that truly understand authority, honor, and respect. How often can we say that in politics? So, yes, you can be a Christian MMA fighter and a Christian soldier, but not a Christian politician. Someone else, I'm not sure on the Victoria's Secret model. Are you kidding me? Not sure about that. All right, well, that's why I asked the question. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's get some responses. What's your answer? Can you be a follower of Jesus and engage in these professions? When we come back, something important on abortion. You don't want to miss it. Thanks so much for joining us today on this Line of Fire show devoted to answering the question, are there certain professions that followers of Jesus cannot engage in? I would hope that you would agree, for example, that you cannot be a professional assassin, a professional murderer, and a follower of Jesus. Or are there other things that are okay, other things that are not off limits? Before we get back to this, 866-34-TRUTH, before we get back to this, I want to just take a couple of moments to give you a very important abortion update, as well as to let everyone in the greater Charlotte area know about some really important things happening tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday in the greater Charlotte area. Really hope that you can participate with these. As you may have heard, the House of Representatives has voted to repeal the Obama's health care bill. And of course, one of the, and by the way, the issue is not should everyone get health care. The issue is the reform, the right reform. Months ago, I said, look, I'm not commenting on it because I'm not expert on it, meaning I'm not expert on the whole bill and how it impacts all of health care issues. However, I was certainly hostile to the parts of the bill that would have taxpayers paying for abortion. And now the House Republicans are making it clear that they're going to, in a more targeted way, focus on legislation to take down provisions they contend allow for taxpayer funding of abortion. All right? Hang on here. Let's just, I think we're gonna just getting someone set up in the studio with me here. You may have heard, and by the way, according to NARAL, which is a radical pro-abortion group, these anti-choice politicians are out of touch with Americans' values and priorities, said Nancy Keenan, president of NARAL. These same lawmakers voted to repeal a health care law that provides prenatal care and the promise of no-cost birth control to women. Oh, no-cost birth control to women. I want to just play a clip for you, and then we've got a pro-life leader in our community, a businessman, that is going to talk to all of you in a moment. But there is a case that is getting national attention now. Philadelphia doctor accused of murdering patient and newborns. And what happened is they delivered babies that were viable and then killed them. That's murder. Of course, they'd succeeded in killing them in the womb 3 seconds earlier. That wouldn't be murder. But I want you to hear this report about what was found in this clinic and listen to the reaction of the news reporter that's covering this story, the horror of it. And then I want to find out if this is just typical about abortion clinics everywhere.
Wow. But when this search warrant was executed, there were jars and jars and jars of severed feet that this doctor kept. He kept pictures of the women's genitalia. There was fetuses and body parts and bags all over this building, and even in the same refrigerator that the staff had their lunch in. What was most disturbing, of course, and what the jury found most problematic, was that this doctor would induce labor. So this wasn't the normal abortion that people think of for people in their first trimester. This was a doctor giving medicines that would induce the labor. The women would have the babies. The babies would squirm, would cry like any baby born. Then this doctor would perform a procedure he called snipping that has no medical basis, where he would take scissors and put them in the
back
of his skull.
I want to stop you. Let me stop.
Oh, okay. Too much to even talk about. I'm joined by David Benham of Benham Real Estate, one of the fastest growing small businesses in America, and leader of the Benham Foundation with his brother, Jason. David, this description that's getting this reporter so upset, is there anything that extreme about it, or does abortion kill babies?
Abortion kills babies, certainly. And if the reporter can't even listen to the rest of the interview, can't even finish the interview and let him speak about what a perfectly legal standard practice is in America, then why do we put up with it? So it's very unfortunate.
And have things like this been found at other clinics, maybe in waste baskets?
Oh, certainly. I've been in this battle for years, and I've watched my dad out in the streets, and I have actually seen boxes of babies with my own eyes. And when I was a young kid...
No, your fetal tissue. I mean, it's not an actual baby.
No, it's a baby. When I was a kid, you would have thought that it would have traumatized me, but it didn't. It caused me to ask why I see eyeballs, I see a nose, I see hands, I see feet. Dad, what's going on?
Formed hands and feet.
I've seen them with my own eyes. And so my dad said, well, David, that is a human being. And unfortunately, this human being has been killed because of a very legal process called abortion.
And some years back, God convicted you about baby Malachi. Can you tell us that story?
Baby Malachi is a picture of a baby that has gotten worldwide attention. And my dad found Malachi in a dumpster. And it was he and a couple of other leaders within Operation Save America had found Malachi. And Malachi was in pieces. Well, what he did was he took it to a doctor, and the doctor put Malachi back together so they could actually bury the baby. And when they did, it was just astonishing. It was a fully formed baby. And you could see it was just, its each leg was ripped off, each arm was ripped off, its head was ripped off, and its skull was crushed.
And this is just what happens in abortion inside the womb.
Every day in this country, every single day. Just right here in Charlotte, we're over 1.5 babies an hour will die just here in Charlotte. The statistics are awful. And so baby Malachi has actually spoken very loudly. And we show Malachi on the street corners. And it's unfortunate. There will be a lot of people that will throw beer bottles at us and will scream and yell at us. And I always respond, and my dad responds, and those that are holding baby Malachi responds, if this is a perfectly legal operational surgery in America, then why are you so upset at me for showing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you upset at me? Why not get upset at the fact that this actually exists in our country? So let's try to do something together to see that this comes to an end so that Malachi can live.
Right here in Charlotte with your dad and OSA and others working together with them, are we seeing change? Is something positive actually happening?
Oh, certainly. We are definitely seeing change. In 2009, the North Carolina Department of Health showed the statistics of counties, county by county in North Carolina. And Mecklenburg County has actually gone down in percentages as far as abortions. Since the year 2004, 2003 or 4, I can't remember specifically the national statistic, but abortion since then has gone down almost 40%.
All right. And there is a tide of public opinion that's slowly changing, thank God, miraculously changing.
Yes.
This weekend, it's tomorrow and Saturday. There are three events that folks can take part in, and there's still time to get involved in each of them. So just let our listeners know about this.
Well, what we wanted to do, my brother and I founded the Benham Foundation, and one of our primary goals in the Benham Foundation is to be a voice for life. And so this weekend is the 38th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and Christians around the country are gathering for memorial services, and they're doing banquets and whatnot. And so what we're going to do here in Charlotte is Friday afternoon at 11:30, we are going to gather at Trade and Tryon for a one-hour memorial service. Friday evening at the University Hilton at on J.M. Keynes Drive, we're going to have a Celebrate Life dinner. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have a Unity for the Unborn service in front of a Preferred Women's Health Center at 3220 Latrobe Drive in Charlotte.
All right. I'm going to give all that information again on the other side of the break. We've posted it also on our Facebook page. But if you're in the greater Charlotte area, if you're working in the city, you can come by the rally in the afternoon. You can get to the dinner in the evening. Or what an experience to stand for life in a godly way in front of an abortion mill. One last question, David. Are we hearing reports of babies that are being saved and then you get to see these kids grow up later?
Oh, yeah. Just in 2010, 340 babies in Charlotte were saved.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that, friends? Fruit is being born. You can make a difference. We'll be back. How about this? Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus and an abortion doctor? You know, there are abortion doctors I have been told about firsthand that tithe and are church-going and think they are doing a service. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today. I will give you the details again about what's happening in the greater Charlotte area tomorrow and Saturday, the Sanctity of Life weekend that is being sponsored by the Benham Foundation and others, Operation Save America, others in the city here working together for life. But we'll go back to my survey. Getting questions that will cause us to think about morality, about personal lives, about holiness, about being in the world but not of it. And again, we're just asking for personal opinions. We're not asking for you to make a definitive judgment about someone else, but personal opinions. Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus, a serious, committed, mature follower of Jesus, and one, a Victoria's Secret model, two, a mixed martial arts fighter, three, a bartender, four, a politician, five, a soldier, six, a gambling casino owner, seven, a porn star. Gregory in the West Indies, thanks for holding. I'd love to hear your take, sir.
Good day, Dr. Brown.
Good day.
Good day. Hello?
Would you like me to go through the list individually, or do you want to just jump in?
I would just jump in. Yeah. Well, a person cannot walk with God. A person cannot be walking with God and well, where Victoria's Secret is concerned, I don't know if they always demand that you wear these revealing clothes. Definitely, you will not be wearing the revealing clothes. If Victoria's Secrets include wearing decent clothes, then maybe, because I don't know too much about the Victoria's Secret magazine.
Uh-huh.
But from the very little that I know of it, if you're going to just limit yourself to wearing decent clothing, then at this point in time, the little that I know about Victoria's Secret, I don't see a problem with it for somebody who is walking with God. Once you're going to be wearing proper clothing.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on Victoria's Secret either. This much I know, there's a shop in the mall where I sometimes go, and I immediately have to turn away the moment I get near it. The only images around it are very sensual, very lust-filled. And from what I understand, the people who become famous as Victoria's Secret's models, it is modeling sensual underwear, and they become famous because they are objects of lust to men. I'm sure some women, you know, like the product, but that's not the issue. So I don't think there's a job opening for a decently clothed Victoria's Secret model, Gregory.
Okay, well, then in that case, then definitely the answer is no. But just quickly, I'd like to say, where a casino owner is concerned and somebody who is a bartender, that sort of stuff. I personally do not see anywhere in the Bible that forbid those too.
Mm-hmm.
From somebody who is walking with God, I do not see anywhere where it says that gambling or liquor is sin.
I don't see
it in the scriptures.
All right. Yeah, well, that's...
Definitely abortion is out.
Got it. Okay, so being an abortion because of the shedding of innocent blood. All right, got it. So you're raising the question then, does the Bible prohibit distribution of liquor? Does the Bible prohibit gambling? And
right.
Therefore, would it be wrong? Hey, I appreciate you raising the questions. By the way, I love the West Indies accent. It's nice to hear your voice. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
By the way, before we go, I have the two DVDs, Silent Scream and Eclipse of Reason. I think they're very good.
Yes, they are. Classics and very important.
Very
Thank
good.
You, Gregory. Appreciate it. All right, so look, it's very interesting that people have very quickly, almost universally, on the survey that we've done on Facebook, said no to being a casino owner, gambling casino owner. Probably most all said no to being a bartender. Gregory raises the question, where is gambling forbidden in the scriptures? So is it okay? Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus, committed Christian, and a gambling casino owner? What do you think? What's wrong with being a bartender? There is a local group in the greater Charlotte area where the pastor of the church plays in a punk rock band and is a bartender, and also has a very different moral stance than we do on quite a number of issues. But maybe we're just being legalistic, narrow-minded. Let me read a few more comments here. Again, I'm not even going to quote the names, but this is from Facebook. Yes to all. God's grace is sufficient, and Christ paid for all sin, not just the inoffensive little ones. But I find that comment to be way off base. Unless this was misunderstood, unless my question was misunderstood, the question was not, can Jesus pay for all of our sins? Does he pay for all of our sins? The question is, what does it mean to be a devoted follower of Jesus? Please, somebody tell me which Bible you're reading. Please, somebody tell me which New Testament you're reading. Does not Jesus say to the woman caught in adultery, he forgives and then says, go and sin no more? Does not the Bible explicitly tell us that Jesus died to save us from our sins, not in our sins? Doesn't the Bible tell us over and over again to be holy because the Lord is holy, and without holiness no one will see the Lord? Doesn't it say that it's the pure in heart who will see God? Didn't Jesus say, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away? I was talking to a Christian leader involved with Teen Challenge and other ministries in California, and he told me about a famous Victoria's Secret model that he used to work with. He said she would come in when he was ministering to homeless men. She would come in and share her testimony and what Jesus did in her life, and then said, now look, I know you see these pictures of me and all this, but that's what I do for a living. That's not who I am. Where do we ever get the idea that we can make that distinction? Oh, yeah, it's my job. I'm a professional assassin. I'm a hitman with the mafia. But that's my job. I mean, that's not who I am. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm an abortion doctor, and I'm killing, you know, doing late-term abortions and killing viable babies, killing babies, period, in the womb. But that's what I do. That's not who I am. Oh, yeah, I am involved in making satanic movies. Yeah, very powerful satanic movies with underlying satanic themes. But that's what I do. That's not who I am. Where did anyone get this idea? God's grace is sufficient to change us. Come on, what's written in Titus, the second chapter, about God's grace? Can I read that to you? Titus chapter 2, where the grace of God has appeared to all men. What does it say? Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Sin kills. Sin's destructive. Sin's ugly. Everything about sin has nothing to do with who Jesus is and who we are called to be, and therefore it is a lifelong pursuit as forgiven people, as freed people, as loved by God because of his goodness, not because of our goodness. It is a lifetime pursuit because of that love to be holy, to do what's right. And New Testament church, if you didn't live like that, you wouldn't repent, you were put out. Right, remember, this weekend, tomorrow, 11:30, the midst of Charlotte. You work in Charlotte, come by at 11:30. Be part of this. Roe v. Wade Memorial Service, the corner of Trade and Tryon, uptown Charlotte. And then tomorrow night, Celebrate Life Dinner at the University Hilton. It's a free dinner, 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night. But you must call to confirm you're coming. There's information about that on the Facebook page. Back with more. I'm about to get back to the survey on what can true followers of Jesus do and not do. 866-34-TRUTH if you'd like to weigh in. The discussion is always lively at askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. We have some important links with yesterday's program to Voice of Revolution article on holiness versus legalism, to my book, How Saved Are We, as well. So make sure you check out Line of Fire. And look, friends, I'm not on the radio because I've got nothing else to do. And I trust you're not listening because you've got nothing else to do. And certainly if you're just driving, have nothing to do while driving. There are plenty of other people you could be listening to. We're in this together because we want to see change. We're in this together because we believe that God has something more. We're in this together. I'm on the air. You're listening. We're sharing things together online. We're sharing our lives outside of the radio program because we really want to see a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. We really want to see the church awaken. We really want to see something change in our society. We really want to see Jesus glorified in our lives. We really want to see the potential of what someone could do devoted to the Lord. We're not here to pass judgment on one another. And that's why I do so little mentioning of names of Christian leaders. If I take issue in the context of respect for things I agree with and then focusing on areas of disagreement. The goal is to spur one another to follow the Lord and be all that he has called us to be. Just another reminder, if you'd like to be part of the Celebrate Life dinner tomorrow night in Charlotte, 6:30 p.m., sponsored by the Benham Foundation, it's a free dinner at the University Hilton, you need to respond by calling 704-202-2005. There's still time, 704-202-2005, or write to uniteforlife@yahoo.com. But do that today. Then Saturday morning, January 22nd, 9 a.m., Unity for the Unborn, there'll be a godly Christian rally of beautiful spirit and tone at the Preferred Women's Health Center and Abortion Clinic, Latrobe Drive, 3220 Latrobe. So this information is all on the Facebook page. And one comment. Can you be a Victoria's Secret model devoted follower of Jesus? I'm a fat old man. This does not apply to me. All right. I appreciate that brother's input on that. Let me take another call. John in Winston-Salem, what's your take on all this?
What were the categories?
All right, great. I'll go through them one at a time. Can you be a devoted follower of Jesus and a Victoria's Secret model?
I would say yes.
All right. A mixed martial arts fighter?
Yes.
Bartender?
No.
Politician?
Yes, but you wouldn't get many votes.
All right. Soldier?
Yes, absolutely.
Gambling casino owner?
No.
Porn star?
No.
Okay, explain to me why, you had to think about it, but why it might be okay to be a Victoria's Secret model.
Well, I don't know. There's no nudity involved, and yeah, it's kind of tantalizing and stuff, but it's just not showing the parts. I mean.
Okay, so you would draw the line there. And why did you say no to bartender and gambling casino owner?
Things that promote the degradation of the family unit, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it just wouldn't get in like that.
Got it. All right. Hey, John, I appreciate you weighing in. Thanks so much, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
Doc. All right. Let me just remind you, when we do a survey like this, or if I ever ask for your view on a doctrinal point, you can have an opinion. You can have a view. You can back it up with 100 verses. You can say, I'm not sure, but here's what I think. We're not expecting everyone to have a full theological justification, nor am I expecting you to agree with me on each position. And some of these, to me, are up for debate. May have time for a couple more calls, 866-34-TRUTH. I've gotten responses on the survey, yes, across the board, and no, across the board. So what about the Romans principle, Romans 14, that if I know that my conduct in a debatable issue is causing someone to stumble, then I won't engage in it. It's one thing, for example, if someone stumbles, if anyone wears blue, that they start flipping out and screaming and yelling, oh, well, the person has a problem. You can't help them with that. Just if you go to their house, don't wear like bright blue clothes if you're going to visit them in their house because you understand they have an issue. But obviously, you can't stop wearing. We have no blue in the church. Well, I got a problem with red. Okay, you understand where this can go. However, if I know that my conduct in a debatable issue is causing someone to stumble, then I will not engage in it for the sake of that person. If it is a debatable issue, I don't want to cause someone to stumble. I would rather restrict my liberty for their good. Isn't that a biblical principle? Okay, we come back. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the seven categories and why I put them in this list. My bottom line in terms of what we need to think about as followers of Jesus. All that when we come back, right here on the Line of Fire. All right, let me give you my thoughts on why I put these categories here to get you thinking further. I was interested in the extensive discussion that arose immediately after the show, even during the show yesterday, about being a Miss America and a devoted follower of Jesus. Marcus French, who edits our Voice of Revolution online magazine, posted something very moving. A picture, he said, of true beauty, and it was from a woman who had been severely burned and disfigured, an Indonesian Christian, with her smile that actually shocked some people who even subscribed to Voice of the Martyrs, sending for the persecuted church. And on the one hand, no, by no means do we want to downplay beauty that God has given people or make that an ugly or negative thing, but could it be that we are often looking at things in a way that is only skin deep, and not looking for a greater beauty? That being said, can you be a devoted follower of Jesus and a Victoria's Secret model? I cannot understand how you could, because you are presenting yourself as an object of lust. There's no question that people are looking at you, the outfits and everything about you. They are meant to be sensual. They are meant to incite sensual desires, which is contrary to the gospel, plainly. A mixed martial arts fighter, I understand that there can be great discipline, there can be self-defense. My question would be the degree of violence. We're talking about two different things, but when I think about professional matches and the violence inflicted and the pounding and everything else, can you do that in the will of God? That's my question there. Bartender, aren't you contributing to people's drunkenness? If you say, I get to reach people for the gospel, well, then when they come in, get sober, you can tell them to quit coming. Politician, sure, you can be a godly politician, glorify Jesus as a politician, stand for what's right. Some of our great leaders in history have been politicians, but there's a whole compromise path that many walk, and often the only way to get ahead is to walk that path, which disqualifies yourselves from God's principles. So to do it God's way is very challenging. A soldier, hey, look at all the good that has been done in liberating oppressed peoples, or in World War II with the aggression of Japan and Germany, and the American soldiers gave their lives for freedom and saved many lives in the process. The question that's often asked is the question of just killing people to fight for freedom for others becomes a moral conflict for some, hence the discussion. One day we'll get into a big discussion about the military followers of Jesus. The fact is, a lot of evangelicals are in the military today. And in Israel, the ultra-Orthodox Jews who don't serve in the military so they can study all day, they are despised by the populace often because of that. Gambling casino owner, the question is, what does gambling do to people? What effect does it have? Can you be a godly, can you follow godly financial principles in Scripture and be a gambler? The answer is no. Therefore, as a casino owner, playing on greed and appealing to other people's greed is a destructive thing. A porn star, again, take the Victoria's Secret model answer I gave and multiply it 100 times. Everything about it is exposing, wrong, sinful, destructive, which is why we pray for these people involved. Now, that being said, how powerful is the blood of Jesus? Boy, I read a story last night. If you've not read the book Unbroken, get it. It is a national bestseller. It is nonfiction. This is a true story. The book is called Unbroken, and it is one of the most amazing stories of redemption I've ever read. There are a couple of words of profanity you'll find along the way, recounting things from the military camps, the POWs in the midst of torture, etc. That's it. The book is an extraordinary read, and it reminds me of the power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, whoever you are, however you're living, whatever your situation, if you're addicted to porn, if you're a serial rapist, if you're a religious person that's a hypocrite, whoever you are, Jesus died for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. There is a better way. There is forgiveness of sins and a brand new life in Jesus. So for one and all, let me encourage you to come and be forgiven and be cleansed and begin a brand new life in Jesus. And those of us that claim to know him, let's set our standards high and find out just what Jesus can do through a dedicated life. Friend, if you need the Lord, call us now at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. We would love to talk to you.